Turn in your Bibles with me tonight into 1 Samuel chapter number 17. That's the portion of Scripture that tells you if you are walking with God, how to get ahead. Y'all get that in a minute. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Y'all figure it out yet? It's the story of David and Goliath. So if you want to know how to get ahead, just follow David's example. Amen. But that's not what I want to preach to you about tonight. I want to preach to you a few moments about how not to be a Christian fraud. Or don't be a Christian fraud. You know, there's a lot of people in their Christian walk are frauds. Amen. That they're trying to be something that they're not, and when they realize that they're not what they were trying to be and determined to do what God wants them to do and be what God wants them to be, that's how they find out that they can be used to the greatest advantage and have the greatest power, the greatest influence, and be the greatest worker that God can use you for in this world. Now let's look at our text tonight. It will be 1 Samuel 17, verses 38 to 46, just a portion of the whole story of David as he comes up to the camp here, and we'll talk about some of the rest of it in a moment. But in these verses of Scripture, in verse number 38, the Bible says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail." Brother Jim, would you stand and do me a favor? Read that Scripture down to verse 46. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for being with us and blessing us this day. Thank you for the service this morning and the great liberty to preach. And Father, for those who we saw and we witnessed listening intently to your word, maybe have never heard the truth, and maybe have never heard your word before. But God, we just seen them anxious to hear every word, and we just pray, Lord, that as your word went forth this morning, God, that it's already begun to work in hearts those things that they stand in need of. But Lord, we're back again in your house for another time, Lord, and we thank you for the sweet fellowship we've had tonight, for the sweet spirit that is here. And God, we just ask you, as we look to your word tonight, you'd help us, Father, just to see those things that we stand in need of and to preach truth according to your purpose. Lord, help us to see something tonight, each one of us, that will help us to grow in our Christian walk and to be strengthened and to be encouraged to be the witnesses in this world, to be the light in this world, to be the salt in this world that you'd have us to be. We ask this tonight in your precious name. We say amen. Amen. You all pray for me tonight. I didn't have a whole lot of voice this morning. I had trouble preaching this morning. And I can see that it's going to be a time tonight. But, you know, sometimes, as we said, we pretend to be something, and we try to be something, and we try to do something that's not what God wants us to be. And when we do that, or when we become that, or when we act like that, we become a Christian fraud. Amen? We're trying to let folks think that we're something that we're not, and we're trying to do something that God hasn't called us to do. And that's a dangerous place to be when we're facing the enemy that we deal with in this world every day. He's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Just like Goliath was so fearsome and so fearful to the children of Israel as they stood, the armies of Israel were standing and facing this giant, and they were afraid. And if David had went out there and pretended that he was something that he wasn't and tried to do something in a manner in which he wasn't trained to do, it could have been detrimental unto him. Look in the first few verses there of our text, 38 and 39. "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Sometimes it's easy to pretend, and sometimes it's easy to try to want to be somebody that we're not. Amen. Preachers see other preachers and you hear other preachers, and I tell you what, I would love to be able to preach like Adrian Rogers. How many know who Adrian Rogers is? Amen. Man, y'all have never heard Adrian Rogers. You need to go on YouTube somewhere and look up and listen to Adrian Rogers. He preached in that bass voice with that distinct southern accent that spoke with dignity. Oh my, what a preacher. I would love to preach like Adrian Rogers. He never had trouble pronouncing words. He never had trouble of having a voice that, you know, My voice is so messed up, and my speech is so contemptible. As Paul said, that stinking woman, that hussy in my car that I got to talk to, just makes me so mad sometimes. I want to smack her. I'll say, call Aaron. I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about that thing that's built in my car, that thing that come program. Sherry's looking up here like, oh. I tell you, this bunch has been trouble tonight. Here before service, they just want me to bring their cousin in. Then they told me it's a Jehovah's Witness. Not really, just aggravating me, you know. I'll say, call Aaron. And it'll call everybody but Aaron. Am I lying? I can say, call Aaron. It'll call somebody else. I don't even know who it is. I don't know how they got the name that they're calling out of that. And I know, you know, my speech isn't everything that I wished it could be. And, you know, Paul said they talked about his contemptible speech, and I understand that. And, you know, I get nervous. You know, y'all are used to me, so I preach a little more freely to you guys. But when I've got to go somewhere and preach, you know, in a couple of weeks, I've got to go down and preach for Brother Jason McNeese. Amen. I preached the first message for their meeting last year, and as he started it off, and he said the whole meeting that week centered and kind of just the it kicked the meeting off of the tempo or the focus of the meeting. And he said it seemed like the whole meeting that they preached that week just seemed to hinge on that message I preached that Monday night. And I said, wow, I was scared to preach anyway. Man, you see how big that church is? All them people? I get nervous preaching, and I preach down there. And then he tells me, I want you to come back next year. I want you to preach the same space. Now I feel like I got the weight of the world bearing down on me, amen, because I might ruin his meeting, amen. It's bad enough they got to listen to me, but now I'm worried about it. And I said, man, if I could just preach like so-and-so, if I could be just like so-and-so, I just imagine how effective I could be. I just imagine how admired I would be, or just imagine all these things. And you know, sometimes we want to be somebody or we want to be something that we're not. Saul gave David his armor. He put his armor on him. He gave him his sword, and he was ready to send him on out to battle. And when David got to thinking about it, and when David got to looking around, the Bible said he essayed. In other words, it means he checked it out. You know, when you take gold in the old days back in the 49ers, when they took their gold in to get it weighed and everything, it went to the assaying office, or it went to an assayer. In other words, he checked it out. Amen. He wanted to find out what you had, whether it was real gold or fool's gold, or if it was all gold or a little bit of rock thrown in there. He assayed it to check it out. And that's what David did with that armor. And when he got done a saying of what had been given to him, he realized he couldn't go with that stuff. Amen? He realized that's not who he was. And you know, sometimes we got to come to that realization, that's not who I am. You say, well, I can't witness like the pastor. That's all right. Don't try to be the pastor. Just be you. Amen? You say, well, I can't teach and I can't do the things that Miss Debbie does or Sister Mary does. You know, you young girls, you young ladies that are coming along, we're trying to pass the torch on to you, amen? And you're not going to be Miss Mary. You're not going to be Miss Debbie. You're not going to be this one, and you're not going to be that one. You're going to be who you are. Quit trying to be, and don't worry about being somebody else. Be who you are, and let Jesus use you for who you are. Amen? You know what would have happened if David would have went down in that valley to face Goliath, dragging all this armor and stuff? It didn't fit him. You know, I'm not going to fit you. My personality. People that know me, either know me or love me or hate me for who I am. Amen? So don't try to be me. Amen? Don't try to witness. Don't try to teach. Don't try to do things the way that I do them. Amen? You can't be me. And we have so many Christians that won't go because they want to be somebody else. Amen? We have so many Christians that do go and they try to be somebody else and then they come back defeated because they couldn't win the battle trying to be somebody else. Had David went down into that valley dragging all this stuff, it was ill-fitting. And the first place, armor that was made for the individual soldier. Amen? Well, you know, look at Brother Steve. He's all, you know, fit and trim. Look at me. You know, it makes some armor for me. It's not going to be as effective on him because it's not going to fit him just right. It's going to be sliding around, moving. It's going to leave in spots that are vulnerable. If I tried to put on armor that's made for Brother Steve and get it to fit me, I'm going to have all kinds of gaps. Amen? Because it's just not going to fit in right. And that's what we got to understand. There's a fit for you. And everything that is made to fit you is made for you to go in the battle. God has outfitted you with what you need. Amen? He's given you the voice that you need. He's given you the personality. You know, there's people that don't like to talk to me, but think Sister Sherry's the sweetest thing in the world. Amen? And they want to talk to Sister Sherry. They don't want to talk to me. They don't want to hear somebody like me try to tell them about Jesus, but somebody like Sister Sherry can tell them about Jesus, and they'll just sit and listen to her for hours. Amen? So, you know, we got to understand, we can't be who we're not. Amen? So we need to be careful that we don't try to be something or someone that we're not. We just need to be ourselves. Amen? And we need to go out and do what the Lord wants us to do as ourselves and quit trying to be somebody else. David knew that he couldn't go down there. Don't matter how much armor and everything they give him, it was going to fit. And when he went down in that valley and that giant looked at him, he goes, amen, that's not Saul. I don't know who that is in that armor. But he's an easy target because it don't fit right. It's not going to work right. He's not trained right. David went down to the army. His father told him to go down there, take some food, take some provisions down for his brothers and for the army. And he got down there and you know where was David before he got there? He was tending sheep. Amen. David got down to the army, and who was he in the midst of? A bunch of soldiers. And here he is, just a shepherd boy. Amen? And no matter how much armor and how many swords and how many weapons they wanted to give him and send him out there, he was still just a shepherd boy. Amen? But who won the battle that day? It was the shepherd boy. Amen? Young people, don't worry about that. You're not as versed and you're not as knowledgeable as your moms and dads, as your Sunday school teachers, and as the preachers and deacons. Don't worry about that. Don't let that keep you from doing what Jesus wants you to do. And don't try to act like you know everything that they know, because the devil knows more than you do, and he'll just get you tangled up in what you don't know. If you get into a discussion with somebody at school and you don't understand and you don't have knowledge, you know what? I'm a pastor, and sometimes people ask me things and I'll tell them, let me get back to you.
Amen.
Amen. You get to trying to get into something that you don't know what you're getting into, and the devil will get you so tangled up you'll never get out of it.
Right.
You'll never be able to win somebody. You'll never be able to convince somebody. Don't try to be who you're not. Just be who you are. Which brings us to the next point. Look at the next few verses. David looked at that armor that Saul had given him and Saul had put on him and all that Saul had provided him with. And David said, this is not me. I can't go with this. This is not me. But then look what happens. We're at verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You know what? Sometimes, we lose sight of some things. Now, you can't be who you're not. If you go back and you look in Acts chapter 19, we have this story of the 7 sons of Sceva. You remember them? The Bible said, let me read this scripture to you. And then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. When we try to pretend that we're something or we're someone we're not, the devil will defeat you. The devil will send you. Man, they were beaten. They were naked and wounded when they left the house. But then we see David. He didn't try to go and be something that he wasn't. He took his staff in his hand and gathered him 5 stones out of the brook and put him in his little shepherd's scrip and had his little sling with him. And he went on his way. He realized that as he went, just who he was. You see, he might not have been one of these soldiers that's in the trenches. He might not have been like his brothers that were down there and were chiding him for coming and accusing him of being there under false pretense and for false motives. He might not have been like one of these mighty men of valor that fought with Saul. Saul, as you understand and read, was head and shoulders above the head and shoulders of every man that was in Israel. He was the tallest man in Israel. He had a great stature. He was a mighty man. And here's David, just this little shepherd boy. But David realizes he's not Saul. But look, David's not ashamed of who he is. Amen? When they brought David to Saul, and Saul looked at him and said, man, you can't go down. That's a man of war from his youth. And they said, you're but a lad. You're just a boy. You're just a teenager. You can't go out there and fight with that thing. He will kill you. And David said, that's all right. I know I was just keeping my father's sheep. I'm just a shepherd. But a lion came and tried to steal the sheep. And he said, I grabbed that lion by the beard and I slew him. He said, and the bear came and tried to steal the sheep. And he said, I slew him too. I killed him. I killed the lion. I killed the bear. I'm not a soldier, but I killed him anyway. Look at, David said, I grabbed him by the beard. He might not have been a soldier, but he was fearless. Amen? I mean, stop and think about it. Have you ever seen just how big a lion is? Sometimes we see him on pictures. We see him on National Geographic. We see photos of him. We don't realize just how big that thing is. I've seen a video clip of some guys over in Africa, and they had the guides. There was like three or four of them hunting, and five or six beating the bush, the guides and stuff with them. And this guy shot this lion, and he didn't kill the lion. He wounded that lion, and that lion charged him. Let me tell you what, that lion's head is like this big around. When that lion come up and he attacked that guy and he jumped up on that guy, that lion put his paws on that guy's shoulder his paws, where his arms were right about where this guy's head was. This head was completely over top of this man. I mean, we're not talking about some little animal, and here this little shepherd boy done grabbed him by the beard and slew him. He had nothing to be ashamed of. He had nothing to be worried about. He said, God delivered that lion and that bear into my hands. And he said, God will deliver this uncircumcised, this Philistine, this heathen into my hands as well. David was just a shepherd boy. But he could walk down in that valley with his head held high. He couldn't wear Saul's armor because he wasn't Saul. But God didn't choose Saul to defeat that giant that day. God didn't choose any of the men in the army of Israel to defeat that giant that day. Who did God choose to go down into that valley and defeat that giant? A shepherd boy. Sometimes we are ashamed of who we are. But God chose a shepherd boy that day to bring a victory. Sometimes we're ashamed at what we have. Sometimes folks are ashamed of the church where they worship. Are you young folks ashamed of all us old hicks down here? Nuh-uh. Thank you, Levi. At least I got one shaking his head. The other's just staring like deers in the headlight. Uh-oh. Some folks are ashamed of their church. They're ashamed of their pastor. They're ashamed of the building. God's give us a beautiful building. Amen. But they're ashamed of this, and they're ashamed of that. Some folks are ashamed because they don't have fancy clothes. People don't drive the hottest hot rods and the coolest cars. Maybe you don't have all that. But don't ever be ashamed of what you have. I was down visiting with my brother. Y'all pray for him. He's had a bad stroke since he had the heart attack. He never told us that he had the stroke. It paralyzed half his body. He had to go into a rehab for a while. He's out now. He's doing fine. But after the stroke, they started finding melanoma cancer all over him. They cut place out of his back, 80-some stitches in his back. Had to take part of his ear off and do reconstructive surgery on his ear because of melanoma. And they keep going just one thing after another. But him and I were the two closest in age. And y'all heard me say, we were poor. When we grew up, we were poor. My dad died. I was 8.5 years old. Left mom with a bunch of kids at home. We were poor before he died. We were poor after he died. We couldn't afford the other O and R. Amen. I mean, mom, when she bought, she did the best she could. When she bought clothes, he was shorter than I was, and he was stocky. When Deb and I got married, I had a 29-inch waist and a 38-inch inseam. But when Mom bought clothes, she had to buy one set of clothes that we both could wear. So I wore pants that were... And you think it's funny. You try going to school wearing pants that look like this, that are balled up around you. We was talking about that. We was down there and got your pants all balled up and strings are tying them to keep them up because they were waisted to fit him. They were legged to fit him. And I never could find pants long enough. I never knew they made long pants and long shirts and all that stuff till I married my wife. She says, why do you always roll your shirt sleeves up? I said, well, when they're down. She says, well, they make sure. I said, they do. Ask her. She'd tell you. She said, yeah, we can buy it. I thought that was the neatest thing in the world. Hey, man, I had a shirt to fit me. I was ashamed of who I was. I was ashamed of how I dressed. I was ashamed of how I looked. I was never proud to be me. But guess who God called to preach? I don't talk right. I'm not the greatest personality. But look what God chose for me to do. He doesn't always choose the finer things and the smarter things and the what we think are the best things. But he uses us. He uses us just like we are. He uses us just where we are. We don't have to have everything. When we got married, we had nothing. My mother was a widow woman. Her mother was a widow woman. My mother told me that when we got married, she said, don't come ask me for anything because I don't have anything to give you. I can't do anything for you. Don't come ask me for anything. I don't have it. And we didn't. And God has always provided. God has always met our needs. God has never left us without. But God has used us to his glory. Oh, no, we don't have a church with the walls busting out and people run down, but God uses us to minister. Amen. Sometimes we don't understand why or where. Told folks this morning, we got to go to the funeral for her aunt, and her cousin asked me before we went, would you speak at Mom's funeral? Would you say something? She said, you knew Mom better than this preacher does. What'd you say? And I said, sure. And then I asked her, says, I mean, I don't know what you're looking for, but, is it all right if I share? Yeah. That's good. And she didn't tell me until after the service that one of the ones that was arranging the funeral said he don't want a bunch of preaching, and the preacher didn't preach. He spoke, done a nice job speaking, talked about the dash, but he never gave the gospel. And afterwards, she said, you did a good job. I knew why. We don't always know why. Some old hick preacher from Charlestown went to Florida because Dr. So-and-so was going to preach about a dash. But I preached about Jesus. Amen. Don't ever be ashamed of who you are. Don't ever be ashamed of where God is going to use you and how God's going to use you. And I got down there. We got that funeral home. I seen Dr. So-and-so. I said, well, they don't need me to speak my lands. They got Dr. So-and-so coming here to speak. And not to make light of it, or but Dr. So-and-so didn't talk about Jesus. People in this world are dying and going to hell. And they need to hear about Jesus. And sometimes the only one that's going to be able to tell somebody about Jesus is you. It's not going to be the preacher. It's not going to be the Sunday school teacher. It's going to be you. Sometimes, young people, you feel so inadequate. Don't ever feel inadequate. Let me tell you what, Pam rolled in here the other night with the van filled. She says, Liam has went through his whole neighborhood.
Amen.
And invited every kid in the neighborhood. Amen. That's a little boy who made a profession of faith here at Bible school. Amen. He's going through the neighborhood and inviting everybody to come to church. You know, he might not be the most articulate. He might not be the most educated. But praise God, he's doing the most.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just put out where it is. His mom and dad don't attend church regularly. But he's the one out there inviting kids to come to church. He's the one that God's using. Young people, he can use you. Old folks, he can use you. My mother-in-law got to the place where she couldn't make it to church. She didn't even go to the grocery store. She sent her kids to do her grocery shopping. She had called my wife and said, you go do this and you go do this. She'd call her sister and say, you go do this and you go take care of this. She'd call her brother and say, you go take care of this and you go take care of this. She saved her strength so she could make it to church on Sunday. That was all she was able to do, to get out. It was a job. It was a chore for her. But when she got to where she couldn't even come to church, she didn't let that hold her up one bit. She got the telephone book out and she opened it up to the A's and she called whoever it was first in the telephone book and said, hey, do you know Jesus is your personal Savior? And I don't know what kind of conversation she had or how many times she got hung up on. Well, praise God, there was another name right behind that one. She picked the telephone up. Deb was up there one day and found she had a bookmark in the telephone book. She said, Mom, what you do? What's the bookmarker in the telephone book? She said, That's where I stopped. She said, that's where you stopped what? She said, that's where I stopped calling people to ask them if they knew to Jesus as their Savior. Right. Amen. We can say, well, I'm too old. You're never too old for Jesus to use you. Amen. I'm too this or I'm too that. We can be ashamed of who we are. We can be ashamed of what we have. And we fail to realize that little is much when God is in it.
Amen.
All David had was his background as a shepherd. But in his life as a shepherd boy, he'd already done more than many of these men in the army would ever accomplish in their life. Liam has already done more than a lot of Christians will ever accomplish in their life. Amen. And all he had was a staff and a sling and a few stones in his little scrip, his pouch. Liam don't have his lexicons and his Strong's Concordance and all this stuff, but he's going out. He's accomplishing something for Jesus. God don't need your ability. He needs your availability. Amen. David could have said, well, there's no need for me to go down there. I'm just a shepherd. I might as well go to the house and tell Dad it's a lost cause. Tell Dad it's all over. Man, we maybe ought to be thinking about packing up and moving on over to Moab. But he didn't. Because he knew it wasn't all about him. In Acts chapter 4, verses 9 to 13, the apostles had met the man on the way to prayer. Peter and John seen the man begging for alms and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as we have, we give to you in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk." And man, that old crippled man got up on his feet and began to walk. He'd done what others probably thought would be impossible for this man to do. And when the priest heard about it, and when the priest called John and Peter to the mat for what they had done, and questioned why they did it, Peter said, If we this day be examined of the good deed that is done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Now listen at this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They were ignorant and unlearned men, yet we're already beginning to set the world on fire. We're already beginning to turn the world upside down. We're already beginning to make a difference for the cause of Christ. Although they were ignorant and unlearned men, do you understand that? They were fishermen, but they weren't ashamed of who they were in Christ Jesus. They were ignorant and unlearned men, but they weren't ashamed of who they were in Jesus. They didn't have silver, and they didn't have gold, and they didn't have all the treasures that the world possessed, but they were ignorant and unlearned men, and yet they were not ashamed of who they were in Jesus. I shared with the Sunday school class here a while back how during the time when the papacy had finally come of age and the grand cathedrals were being built in the name of Catholicism, and one of the popes of that age, I forget which one it was, but the popes of that age was walking with a prominent individual and looking around, and he said, "Look," he said, "no longer do we have to say silver and gold have we none. Look at the magnificence of this place." And the individual that was walking with him said, "Yeah, but no longer can you say, rise up and walk."
Right.
You know, we get so wrapped up in buildings and so wrapped up in things, we lose sight of who we are and what we have in Jesus. Peter and John says, "Be it known unto you that by the name of Jesus, this man walks." It's not about who we are. It's not about what we have or what we can do. But it's about what Jesus can do from us and through us and by us. Never be ashamed to be who you are. Never be ashamed of what you have or don't have. And lastly, don't steal the glory that belongs to God. Look in verses 45 to 46. Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, and all that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." You know, David could have went down there and he could have said, "Yeah, you might think you're bad, but let me tell you something. I'm David the Lion Slayer. You might think you're bad. You might be a giant. You might be 9.5 feet tall. But let me tell you something. I'm the bear killer. Hey, man, you might think you're bad. You might think you're mean. You might think you're all that in a bag of potato chips and everything else." He said, "But let me tell you something. I'm David, the shepherd. I'm David that has never lost the sheep. I'm David. I'm more important than you are. And I'm stronger than you are. I'm mightier than you are, and all this because I'm David." But he didn't say that. He said, "This day God is going to give the victory. This day God is going to get the glory. This day it's all about God being recompensed and God being lifted up and glorified in everything and in every way. It's not about who I am, and it's not about what I have and don't have. But let me tell you something. I'm here today, and I'm here in this valley all because I'm here because God needs to get some glory and God needs to get some honor, and that's the purpose of my being here. That's the purpose of my existence." You see, when we get over self, we don't have to be ashamed of ourselves. We don't have to be ashamed of what we have and we don't have. Amen. But we got to remember, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about this church. It's not about the Baptist denomination. I've told you before, I have no problem inviting people to church and tell them to go to another church. If I feel somebody's more apt to go to Nottingham Baptist Church than they are to come to Charlestown because of their location or whatever, I will tell them, you know, "Man, I'd love to have you at our church, but now I know there's a church that's real close to you because I feel they might be more apt to go there." You know what's more important than Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church? A soul getting saved, that's right. Somebody being where they might hear the gospel. I would love it if they'd come down here. It would just thrill my heart, tickle my soul. Amen. But it's not about me. It's not about this church. It's about giving the glory to God. I try to, when people leave and people will say, "That's a good message, Pastor," I'll say, I try to say, "Give God the glory." Sometimes I'm talking to two or three people at one time. But I do. I try to say, "Give God the glory. I just deliver what he gives me. I just share what he's given me." You know, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about how good we can sing and how good this one sings or that one sings or how good this one preaches or that one preaches. It's all about whether God is going to get to glory or not. David says, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield." He said, "Let me tell you what I have. I have the Lord." Amen. You come down here to get glory for yourself and for the Philistines. Let me tell you what I've come for. To give God the glory. Amen. Amen. You know, there's a lot of Christian fraud going on. When people taking glory for things that they ought to be giving God the glory for.
Amen.
People basking in their accomplishments. Let me tell you something. We started out with nothing. I'm proud of what we have. I'm proud of what we've accomplished in life. We started with nothing. Like one fellow said, I started out with nothing and I still have most of it. Amen. We started out with nothing. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I mean, I just can't say enough. I'm blessed. Man, I never in my life dreamed I'd be able to own a farm. My hopes were for a couple of acres. And God's given us a farm. I never dreamed I would achieve so many of the things I've achieved in life. But God has been good. It's not because of me. It's because of God. It's because of His blessings on our life. It's because even when I fought against it, and even when I struggled with it, I still knew God had to be put first in my life and be put first in things. And even when I strayed, in the back of my mind and in my heart, I knew that God had to be preeminent, and God had to receive the glory, and God had to get the honor. I've worked hard. I've worked long. I've laid in the snow and in the mud and in the water to work on stuff, to fix junk for people, especially people who were in business and had equipment that needed to be done. But the only reason I was able to do that is because God gave me a body that was strong enough to do it and strong enough to accomplish it and strong enough to do it. I've learned to work on things, and sometimes it got down to the place where I've been troubleshooting equipment, having problems I can't find, and I realized if I stop and pray and ask God to show me where it is, and He would help me pinpoint things, and He'd help me out. It's not because I'm so smart. It's not because I know all these things. Brother Steve Lloyd called me the other day, Brother Buddy Prayer. They is in another ministry now with another ship, and they're in Mexico, and they're having a problem with their engine. And he called me up and said, Buddy can't call out, but he got a hold of me, and he wants me to get a hold of you to figure out what's going on. And I sat there and I could tell him, I'm just thinking and just wanting God to show me how to do some things and ask God to show me something. They were going to start changing parts, and that's the worst thing you can do is just start changing parts if you don't know what's wrong in the first place. Amen. You can change hundreds and thousands of dollars worth of parts and still have the same problem that you got. And I just asked God to, and it was just wanting God to give me some understanding about their situation. I'm a hands-on person. Amen. I like to be there. My hands on it, and I said, tell him to do this, this, and this, and I seen Buddy posted the other day, praise God, we found out we didn't need to replace that fuel pump. It was just an O-ring.
Amen.
And they're fixed, and they're ready to get going. But it's not because I've got some great knowledge, and I'm some vast engine guru, although I am, by the grace of God. Amen. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. And that's what God gave me. That's what God trained me to do. Amen. It's got me out of a lot of jams. Amen. I'll tell you that right off. Sister Connie looked up, and I'll tell you about that storm my ship was in. And they lie in that thing. They told us when it happened, that was an 89-foot wave that hit us. They try to downplay it now. And the thing about it, I think they said it was a 55 or 50-some foot wave. It don't matter. It was bad. Amen. But God, give me the peace in the midst of that. And, you know, give me the understanding what I had to do to get that thing going. Our ship was just dead in the water in the midst of the storm. I mean, everything was snuffed out. Brother Jim, tell you, a boiler snuffs, it takes 2 or 3 days most time to get that thing back up to steam and get it to going, producing what it needs to. I mean, it was a bad situation, and I thought it was where I was going to die. I was probably about 19 years old at the time, and I thought that was my grave. And we were standing in water, no means to pump it, no means to get it out of ship. Water's coming in everywhere. Everybody's panicking. It's dark and a few little red emergency lights on. And I was standing there, I was just praying to God. You know how the Indians, you see the old Western movies and the Indians are singing their death song? That's about what I was doing. Amen. I was preparing to meet my Maker, because sooner or later the water was going to come in. Sooner or later the air was going to run out. Sooner or later things just weren't going to be good. As I'm down in the bowels of this ship and I'm standing in water up to here, and there's no electric, and I'm serious. I thought it was it. But God said, try this. Try that. That's that little voice speaking inside. That wasn't Dennis. I was still some wet behind the ears kid. Amen. And I hadn't been too long out of when the first time that engine, the big old engine, I'm talking about engine, big old engine, it run at 1,200 RPMs. It was running full max. Now, you know, for y'all to understand this, your car engine travels up and down the road around 2,000 RPMs or a little better, 2,500. At 1,200 RPMs, this thing sounded like it was coming apart. It had done run away. It run comfortably around 900 RPMs. And the first time that thing run away on me, and I started up that escape hatch out of there, and that old second class that I was working with, I was just a farming recruit, man. That dude rushed up and grabbed me by the seat of the pants, and he didn't pull me back down that ladder. He jerked me down that ladder and threw me on the floor. Boom! He said, boy, don't you ever run away from your job. He said, it's your job to control that thing. It ain't going to control itself. And yeah, he taught me. But you see, God put me where I needed to be. God trained me what I needed to be trained for, because he knew the day was going to come I was going to be in the storm. Amen. And it wasn't going to be about me then. It was going to be about what he showed me. Sometimes we're going to go through the storm. And if we try to face them storms in ourselves, we're going to fail. But when we go to the Lord and we give it to the Lord and we give glory to the Lord, you know what happens? He brings us through the storm. Amen. How did David get to victory? Not because he bragged on David, but because he bragged on the Lord. Amen. David can tell you, man, I was a shepherd. I killed giants. I done this. I mean, all he's doing is recounting what God has allowed him to do. That's all I'm doing here. It's just telling you what God has allowed me to do, what God has allowed me to see, what God has brought me through. Never take the glory that belongs to God. I pastor a great church, not because I'm a great pastor, but because I serve a great God. Amen. God's given me a great godly wife. Not because I'm a great man, but because he's a great God. Amen. He knew what I was going to need. He knew what would prepare me. I have a great family. Not because I'm a great father, but because I have a great God. Amen. I have great Christian friends. Not because I'm a great friend, but praise God, because I have a great God that chose to surround me with people who love me and care about me and worry about me and are concerned about me. I've never seen the likes of the love that I have from my church family. I'm closer to you than I am most of my worldly family. Why? Because a great God put us together. Amen. Don't ever go out bragging of how good you are. Unless you're going to brag about how God made you that way. About how God blessed you that way. Never steal the glory that belongs to him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. You want victory in your life? Put Jesus where he belongs. In John chapter 12, Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. King Herod took the glory that belonged to God. When he spoke and the people said, "It's a God. It's a God speaking unto us." And the Bible said, because he didn't give God the glory, that the worms devoured his body. Cicero, the Roman historian, wrote of the account that transpired when that happened. He said for days he languished as his body was just devoured from the inside out, because he did not give God the glory that's due his name. I don't want to die in my ministry because I won't give God the glory. I don't want to die as a child of God because I want to pretend it's all about me. Christians, we need to quit being Christian frauds. We not need to quit trying to be who we're not. We need to quit being ashamed of who we are. And we need to quit stealing the glory that belongs to God. You want victory in your Christian walk, in your Christian life. If you want to get ahead, pun definitely intended, if you want to get ahead, quit pretending and be just what you are and who you are. Altar's open tonight. We stand at our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you see some areas in your life.